Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Misha Tate, and you're listening to Carson's Corner.
This is Duran, and you're listening to Carson's Corner. Make sure you stay tuned in.
This is Justin Ray Harvey, Frank Duke's student. You're listening to the best of the best shows on the web and beyond. Carson's Corner with Bob Carson.
This is Bo, the one-man army Taylor, media darling and Midwest champion of the world. You're listening to the only radio show that's hard-hitting, keeps it real, and does not pull punches. Carson's Corner.
This is the coach, Sean Tompkins, and you're listening to the best in mixed martial arts, Carson's Corner.
Okay, let's go. Yeah, g'day, this is Justin Lawrence calling from my backyard in Australia, mate. You're listening to Bob Carson, the finest investigative journalist in mixed martial arts history. Listen to his show, I love it.
Hey, this is Joey Odessa, and you're listening to me on the Bob Carson Show, the show that lets no words barred give a whole new perspective to no holds barred.
These days, it's not much fun at Bally's and Caesars in Atlantic City. The CEO is playing the corporate greed game, cutting dealers' hours, cutting retirement and health benefits, even breaking the law by refusing to bargain. Yet he paid himself $39 million last year, with plenty of perks.
Place your bet.
When Bally's and Caesars play games with casino dealers, it's not fun for anybody. And everybody loses. That's why the UAW Atlantic City Dealers Union paid for this time.
Once again, this is Carson's Corner, and my name is Bob Carson. It is November 15th, 2018. It's 11 p.m. here on a Thursday night, and I swear to God, I feel like my apartment's about to blow over here. We've been experiencing miserable weather on the East Coast here. Rain, snow, it's just miserable to be outside. I mean, even if you're outside for like a second or two, You want to run inside. It's terrible. It really is. And in some parts of the state, it snowed. Other parts, it didn't snow. It's just an absolute mess. It's not weather that you would expect in November. You know, I mean, yeah, the weather is fluctuating. The weather is all over the place. But, you know, you wouldn't expect 30 or 40 degree weather and snow and rain and all that stuff in November. I mean, that's usually later on in the season, but who knows? Who knows? Tomorrow it'll be 70 degrees or something like that. It'll be ridiculous, folks. It really is. But in any event, I'm here with you. We have a lot to talk about on the program. If you want to give me a call, you can at 347-326-9749. That is 347-326-9749. I got to tell you, I just came back from the gym. The second day in a row I went to the gym, and I got to tell you, my cardio output is unbelievable, folks. I am a well-conditioned athlete. I'm telling you, for a big guy, for someone that's just well over 300 pounds, I get around. I move very well for a big man. I'm telling you, I did 25 minutes of high-intensity cardio. My average heart rate was probably around 150, 151. And I did it at the highest resistance. I was on the elliptical machine. I'm so proud of myself, folks. My body feels great. I feel like I could take a sleep right now. You know, one thing that Joe Rogan has correct, okay, and you know how I feel about Joe Rogan. We're going to talk about CBD. We're going to talk about marijuana use, drug use, and mixed martial arts later on in the program. You know, Joe Rogan is at the epicenter of that. And he's I'll get into it a little later. But one thing that Rogan has correct is that when you exercise, it's like a natural drug or something. It makes your body feel so much better. Like whenever I work out, I come home and I like I said, I do high intensity, workouts. I don't just lollygag. I'm not one of these fat slobs who gets on the treadmill and just walks for, you know, a mile and a half for 30 minutes and on my phone texting. And no, I work out. If I'm going to work out, I'm going to work out. And the reason why I'm working out is to improve my heart health. That's it. That's the only reason why. I mean, you know, I may get to a point where I want to start to lose weight and I want to start to build strength and all that stuff. Who knows? But that's the main reason I work out, is to improve my heart rate, to offset the abuse that I give my body every single day. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. But, you know, my problem is food addiction. And remember, food addiction killed Manny Yarborough. Don't ever forget that, folks. And so, you know, Rogan, he talks about how when you work out, and he's an elitist, Rogan. He's one of these guys, these real elitist, you know, I'm in shape, and anybody who's not in shape is a piece of crap, and, you know, we could disparage this person. Rogan has that arrogant mentality. But one thing he says is correct is that when you work out, you clear your mind. You get rid of anxiety. Your body works a lot better. You could feel a lot better, because a lot of the source of my anxiety, it comes from the fact that I'm overweight. You know, when I was 2 years ago, when I was 70, 80 pounds less than what I am now, I didn't have anxiety. I didn't have this belief that, you know, tonight I'm going to freaking drop dead. And it's not an irrational belief. When you get to be very, very heavy, you run the potential of dying. I mean, it's an absolute fact. The rates of disease for people that are obese are very, very high compared to people that are not. It's just an absolute fact. And that's part of the reason why we have an obesity epidemic here. But, you know, when you work out, you really, really clear your mind. It's very, very beneficial to work out. It's just the ability to conjure up the willpower to work out. Okay, and that's the whole issue. But Rogan is absolutely right here. And somebody should tell a lot of these fighters, well, I mean, you know, MMA fighters are generally in shape anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Their whole lives, or not their whole lives, but a good portion of their lives have to do working out, so they understand. But for a lot of these fighters I see, it's about working out to look good and to you know, impress other people, not necessarily for their health. But that's a different discussion. So in any event, I feel really, really healthy, folks. I feel really, really good, very, very relaxed, and ready to do the show here today on Blog Talk Radio. Again, this is Carson's Corner with Bob Carson. We have listeners in every single state. Don't listen to the clowns on the underground forum who love to insult me, love to abuse me on there, because I voice unpopular opinions, because we truly are, maybe amongst Eddie Goldman, the voice of the voiceless here on Carson's Corner, hence the intro music. We have listeners in almost or most countries around the world, and in every state in this country, with the exception of, I think, one of the maybe South Dakota, North Dakota. What do we have, 50 states? We have listeners in 49 states, and we have a lot of listeners. Take my word for it, ladies and gentlemen, okay? And that's even despite the resistance that we get from Blog Talk Radio and other outlets. You can't accurately pick up the amount of downloads that you get, because the system is so screwed up for measuring downloads. But that's neither here nor there. But in any event, we have a real, real good show for you here today on Carson's Corner. I'm kind of drawing a blank. I was talking about audience. I was talking about I'm kind of losing my mind here, folks. I don't know, it's the wind or something. Maybe it's me. I'm getting distracted here. But we have a bunch of people out there in the chat room. We have the Facebook Live stream going on. We really appreciate those that are chiming in there. And again, if you want to give me a call, you can at 347-326-9749. That is 347-326-9749. So I have a thread up there on the underground about Khabib. And Khabib, ever since he beat Conor, which was over a month ago, about 5 weeks ago, whatever. And of course, after that, we had the brawl, okay, which he initiated. His team members stormed the cage and started to attack Khabib. They started to assault Conor, and you know, Khabib launches into the crowds trying to attack Dylan Danis. You know the story. I mean, everybody knows the story. Everybody knows what happens there, and there hasn't been any accountability. The Nevada State Athletic Commission is still reviewing the matter and is going to issue some sort of judgment on both Khabib and Conor. But in the meantime, you know, Khabib has been going on this tour, as is Conor. But Khabib has been, you know, meeting with Putin. He's met with, I believe, Kadyrov. He met with that Russian murderer and Olympic gold medalist. I forget the guy's name. I'm not even going to bother to try to pronounce the guy's name. Now Khabib is in Nigeria now. He's helping the poor in Nigeria. He's got a couple photos, a couple videos of him, you know, hugging these people in Nigeria, so on and so forth, yada, yada, yada. And I've been very critical of this. I've been very critical of Khabib ever since the Conor brawl, because it's my contention that Khabib and his team are dangerous people. They're thugs. They don't belong in the United States. They've demonstrated that they have a propensity for violence. Some of Khabib's team members, guys that you know, he would support, even if they killed somebody, he would turn a blind eye. He has this mentality, this very, very dangerous mentality that, you know, it's okay if you you know, if you insult him or you criticize him, then, you know, that's an act of war. I'm telling you, that's how these people think. You've got one of his guys, one of the guys that jumped into the cage and started to assault Conor McGregor. He was involved with the police shooting in Dagestan in 2011, involving a police officer. You have Khabib's team involved with a brawl in 2012. You know, you've got Khabib's team assaulting Artem Lobov. I believe it was the bus incident took place 7-8 months ago. United States on visas, and they really shouldn't be here. You know, we've had this discussion in the past, and I'm really one of the few people out there that are commenting on this, that are, you know, trying to have some sort of a decency in our sport and everything. And so, even before this, I forgot to mention, he disparaged a homeless person, made a homeless person do push-ups, and they were laughing and mocking this person. You know, this is par for the course for him. This is what happens. Of course, he is represented by Ali Abdul Aziz. We've spoken about him on this program many times before. And, you know, Khabib is really, really, in my opinion, of questionable character. And now, you know, he's in Nigeria supposedly helping these poor people out there, which a lot of people on the underground, and I would say people in general, are enthralled with this. They're like, oh, great. You know, he's helping the poor people. What a great guy he is. Oh, my God, this is just absolutely great. And my question is, you know, this is almost reminds me of a politician that wants to project a certain image to people out there. You know, he wants you to think that he's a great guy because, look, he's an altruistic guy and he's a guy of real solid character. But I start to question that because I don't know who the real Khabib is. I mean, you've got a guy who disparages a homeless person, right? And somebody sent me a message on Facebook today saying that he knew the guy and that he's known him for several years. Apparently, Khabib did know this gentleman that he disparaged. And, you know, this wasn't a random person, but it doesn't make a difference whether it was a random person or not. You know, the fact is that Khabib is humiliating someone who presumably is down on his luck. You know, he's got a camera and he's laughing, and it's very exploitive it doesn't represent, doesn't look like somebody, doesn't represent someone of solid character. And I hate to use that. I hate to talk about someone's character because, you know, there's one argument that says, oh, you know, he's a human being. And so, you know, human beings could make mistakes and you know, you could have one guy who in one instance may do something that's not right, but in another instance make up for that. You know, how can you judge somebody and whatnot? And I understand that point of view. You know, I always thought that if you look at the world of politics, that somebody, a politician, should be able to run for office if he does have an affair. Or, you know, even in Donald Trump's case where Donald Trump bragged about groping women and, we could just that in itself, that shouldn't disqualify somebody, you know, for running for office. If somebody makes a racial remark or whatever, you know, we as a society are very, very judgmental when it comes to, oh, that person doesn't have the character. And I don't like to get into that because it's a relative term. And I understand that, you know, all of us are freaks behind closed doors. All of us are troubled individuals. This is how I look at the world. And, you know, some of us are just a little bit more honest about it than others. Okay. But if you put all this stuff together, you put the violence, you put the people that he hangs around with, you put the extremism that we see from individuals around him and him seemingly supporting murderers and happy to be friends with murderers. And take my word for it, you know, everything that goes on in Dagestan, Khabib is aware of it. Okay. Everybody knows everybody. It's a very, very small country. And, you know, I don't buy for one second that, you know, he's not involved or very, very close to people that are engaging in these types of behavior and whatnot. And so I look at this and I say, you know what, I don't buy this. I really, really don't buy this idea that he, you know, is caring about the poor and that, you know, he really, really wants to help people and whatnot. Because actions speak louder than words. That's my whole thing. He's got a book coming out, Khabib. He's got his autobiography coming out. And I just think now it's a convenient time for him, you know, to go out there and do this and participate in a photo op and get his name out there and try to, you know, project a positive image and so on and so forth. And just in time for his book to come out, which is supposed to come out, I believe, later on this month. It looks really, really fake and it looks really, really shallow. And nobody out there, people are just, these MMA fans, by and large, are just, I think a lot of them are short-sighted. And a lot of them, they want to look in the now. You know, it's all about what that person's doing now. And let's not worry about what they did, you know, 5 weeks ago or 6 months ago or whatnot. And let's not pass judgment on them. Oh, look, you know, he gives us good fights and we're going to forget about the behavior. We're going to forget about everything that happens outside the cage. And I focus in on less on the fights and less on the technicality of the matchups and all this stuff. I focus a lot of times on behavior and other issues and connecting the dots for those out there like myself and Eddie Goldman and Mike Russell. And there are a few of us out there that actually have some sort of integrity and that actually want to have some sort of conduct and some sort of positive behavior out there. That's what I focus on because, you know, I got to tell you, a guy like Eddie Goldman, he doesn't watch this stuff. Eddie does not watch the UFC. Eddie doesn't even watch Bellator, I think, anymore. And it's because of the degradation of the culture. It's because of you know, the brawls and the trash talk and you know, just the garbage that is put out there and the fake so-called MMA media that always rationalizes it and always, you know, is a part of this charade and whatnot and never can walk away from something and never can say, you know what, This is ridiculous. I'm not covering it because their paymasters dictate otherwise. He doesn't watch this stuff. And I, quite frankly, I don't know why I even watch this stuff anymore. I guess the only reason why I would watch the UFC and comment on the stuff is because I feel that there has to be somebody out there saying this. There has to be somebody out there that voices unpopular opinions, you know, because we know that the MMA media is not going to do it. They're afraid to criticize fighters. They're afraid to take stands. They're afraid to upset their paymasters. We know that the internet forums, by and large, is comprised of just you know, groupthink sheeple out there, people that you know want to maintain the status quo, and people that are just internet keyboard warriors that have never fought, have never done anything, and anybody that has the courage, someone like myself or someone like Eddie Goldman, to put themselves out there and to have a podcast, to have a voice, and to try to make some sort of difference, even if it is just a thread on the underground voicing an opinion against, you know, the sheeple's liking, you know, they're very, very threatened by that. And they really, really are very resistant to that. And that's why I get the reaction that I do. But stuff like that, we need to be talking about this. We need to be looking at somebody's behavior. We need to not fall into this idea that we have to worship these fighters. Somebody like Daniel Cormier. You know how much flack I got for that thread I posted about Daniel Cormier a couple weeks ago? How Daniel is essentially owning Khabib's behavior, and Daniel is not the role model that everybody thinks he is. Well, it's sort of like a hot take, but it's not. I mean, this is stuff that people got to really look at and start to question and whatnot. I mean, Daniel's a sacred cow. I understand that. But really, you know, somebody like that, who I had a lot of respect for, believe me, you know, I used to think that he's somebody that you should look up to and whatnot. But, you know, I just don't understand how he could, you know, support Khabib and have Khabib's team train in American Kickboxing Academy, you know, considering what they've done and considering, you know, how they nearly attacked him at his gym. I'll tell you what, if I'm around people that would nearly attack me because I may have done something on accident or whatnot, those people wouldn't be around me anymore. I could tell you that right now. I'd say, you know what, you know, you need to leave. Get away from me, because I have too much respect for myself to associate myself with people that don't respect me and whatnot. And, you know, again, Daniel and Khabib, they have nobody but a compliant audience. There's nobody out there that's going to call these fighters out, you know, the way I would or the way some other few other people would. Because of the game, because of just how corrupt everything is. And so, you know, I just I think it's really important to look at this stuff, you know. And now everybody's saying, oh, I should be banned. I should be banned from the forum because I'm criticizing Khabib and Daniel. Yeah, I'm the one that should be banned. And meanwhile, while these people are talking to me on the forum, you know, they're using gay slurs. They're using racist slurs. It's just disgusting. It really is. Now, some of you out there would say, you know, what do you care about the underground? Why even bother? Whatnot? I've always believed in the importance of the forums. I've always believed that, you know, the forums are where the fighters and fans can interact, and the forums are a very, very real and honest place sometimes. You know, that's where people, and 99.9% of these people, as I said, don't have the courage to reveal their identity. They don't have the courage to, you know, take a stand for anything. They're cowards. They're keyboard warriors and whatnot. But you could have honest debate, honest discussion, and you know sometimes you need to hear the most vile and brutal things said about you imaginable. I mean, you know, this is my opinion. You know, it toughens you up. It strengthens you. And you know, you can deal with all this stuff. You know, because the internet is a very, very cruel place. We are in the digital age, folks. And so I think it's important to have this because, you know, somebody said the other day, I forget where I heard this, that there's more podcasts now than people. I think he was being a little bit facetious, but there's more podcasts out there now than anywhere. You know why? Part of the reason why is because once you start to get owned by one of these websites or one of these networks, you can't say anything anymore. And this is something that I'm really passionate about, too. The era of sensitivity, the era of political correctness, compresses speech. So you can't, for any one of these networks that the UFC owns, and the UFC owns, you know, ESPN, they own Fox Sports, and when their contract is up at Fox Sports, they're going to own ESPN. They're going to have an entire sports network at their disposal. That's it. They own this SiriusXM. Not that anybody listens to SiriusXM, but the UFC owns everything. Believe me, they have a hegemony over everything in the MMA world. And as a result of that, and just as a result of sponsorships and corporate interests and promoters and fill in the blank. You can't have an honest show. You can't have a real honest show on a network, on television or radio. And I think a lot of people are tuning into podcasting now because they're tired of this stuff. You know, they're tired of, oh, we have to fire this person, and this person said something, you know, offensive, and therefore he can't be on this network. And so, okay, we're going to get the acceptable guy. We're going to get the shill in here. So on and so forth. This is what's happened now, and this is why I think a lot of people are podcasting, because you could say whatever the hell you want, you know? And that, to me, is the most important thing. People always ask me, people always insult me on the underground and other forums. Oh, Bob, you suck. You only have this many followers, and you could never be on any one of these networks or whatever. And you know what my response to that is? I said, you know what? You're absolutely right. I could never be on any one of these networks. You want to know why? Because my personal integrity is the most important thing. I am not going to have anybody tell me what I can and cannot say in my life. It's not going to happen to me. I'm not going to be owned by anybody. I can't do it. And that's the difference between me and one of these clowns, the so-called MMA media people, is that they're trying to make money, they're trying to make a living, and they're essentially prostitutes. They'll sell themselves to anybody out there so that they could make a buck, or so that they could quote be an authority in mixed martial arts and whatnot. And they're property. They're not honest. Real people, they have no integrity whatsoever. I mean, you know, look at this clown, Ariel Helwani. By the way, did you know that Ariel Helwani grew up in a wealthy family? Isn't that just unbelievable, folks? This is a guy who was claiming that he was struggling as a journalist, always struggling to make it in New York. He's taking so many risks, you know, whatnot. And yet his family is just this rich family from Canada. He's a trust fund baby. Just pathetic, folks. He really is. Well, this guy, Ariel Helwani, was just horrible. Somebody said he looks like he should be selling phones at a kiosk in the mall. I could see that, folks. I really could. This guy depends on fighters liking him. He depends on the UFC approval. He depends on not hurting people's feelings. He depends on not taking stands. So, you know, he has to have, for his show to go forward, he has to have 10 interviews. He has to have, you know, 15 interviews, and he has to be in the good graces of this person. He can't say anything that offends that person and whatnot. And it's just so fake. It really is. And so I can't be that person. I can't sell myself out for any reason. You know, that's just the way I am. Personal integrity first, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so yeah, we're going to see what happens. Khabib, maybe he'll do some other photo ops there. Scott Youngson, thank you very much for chiming in on the Facebook live stream. He writes, a lot of them are young, 12, 17 years old. What do you expect? I don't know about that, Scott. I mean, if you look at the folks over at the underground, are you talking about the media members? Are you talking about the forum members, the MMA fan in general? Because you look at the demographics, and most MMA fans out there are white and between 18 and 49 years old. All you got to do is go to a UFC event, and you'll see that. All right, where it's just absolutely ridiculous. Upper middle class, upper middle class. Not a lot of minorities in these arenas here. And I would say that's probably the average forum goer is probably, you know, in their 20s to 50s. You know, I don't think it's that much of a young crowd. I really don't. And so, I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know. But they have the mentality of a 12-year-old. They have the mentality of a high schooler. You know, in high school where, you know, people would just pile up on those and bully those that are different, that wear different clothes and hang out at the mall and wear trench coats and whatnot, that are not athletic. You know, it's very bullying culture, you know, just this groupthink, you know, mentality. You know, you got to be like the jocks, and you got to be like this person. You got to look a certain way, and you got to work out, and you got to have the girls accept you, and the girls have to want you, and you have to be cool, and all that stuff. Well, that I could see that exists on the underground forum, and that exists really in the MMA community. Again, it's a very, very shallow community that doesn't want to really, really look at people's characters and look at people's behavior. They just want a superficial analysis. Oh, you know, we're have a great night of fights, and it's great. To, you know, it's just pathetic. It really is. So, as I said, we'll see what happens with Khabib. We'll see if he does another photo op before his book comes out. I don't want to see him in the United States, folks. Okay, somebody call Donald Trump and tell him that Bob Carson doesn't want to see Khabib or any one of his Dagestani people in this country. They don't deserve to be here, folks. Forget about this caravan. I don't want to hear about this caravan. Nope, nobody's talking about the caravan anymore. It's all switched to this stupid recount in Florida that they're doing. I want to talk about Khabib and his group of people. And I want people to start asking questions about why does American Kickboxing Academy and Javier Mendez, you know, have these people over. They essentially offer them asylum. A lot of questions to be answered here. Somebody get Mike Russell on the phone. Somebody call Mike Russell and have Mike Russell get the answers for everybody. Mike Russell connects all the dots, ladies and gentlemen. You want to know something, you just call Mike Russell. Okay? All right. So, yeah, we'll see what happens there. What else do we got here on the docket? We got Cowboy Cerrone versus Conor McGregor, supposedly. Cowboy has come out and said that he's ready to go. They're waiting on Conor. Did you see Cowboy fight Mike Perry in Denver? I didn't see the fight because I had to go to work. But they fought, and Cowboy broke his arm with an arm bar. And there was a lot of course, not surprising, bad blood between these two. Mike Perry released that ridiculous video of him dressed up as an Indian, you know, talking about Cowboy. And there was just a lot of back and forth between Cowboy and Jackson Wink, Greg Jackson and Mike Winkeljohn and that team and whatnot. Now, I listened to an interview with Cowboy, and I don't know the circumstances to this. You know, I don't know. You've got Greg Jackson or Mike Winklejohn that came out and said, you know, Cowboy hasn't trained at that gym for years. For the last 10 years, he hasn't trained. He's brought other fighters from that gym to his ranch, and, you know, he used some term I don't want to repeat, but you know, basically said these guys are like in love with Cowboy and whatnot. And then you've had Cowboy that has criticized that camp, you know, saying that it's they care only about the money, that they betrayed him, and that it's a puppy mill. He's criticized them for allowing, you know, homeless people to train there, and he's kind of all over the place. I mean, he's even went after some trainers there too, Cowboy. So I don't think that it's all about Mike Winklejohn there. I think Cowboy has some issues with the trainers and perhaps other people at that facility there. And then Mike Winklejohn released a Instagram video, and I don't think he looked very good, you know, attacking Cowboy. I don't really care. To me, it makes no difference. I've spoken about Cowboy before. I think Cowboy is definitely a loose cannon. You know, he's definitely somebody that I can understand why people would like him, you know, because he likes to fight. He's sort of on the down low of his career now. He fights always. He's not afraid to fight anybody. He's got this extreme A-type personality. He's talked about how he's suicidal, that, you know, he doesn't want to live up until 40 years old. You know, he's had a bad childhood. Cowboy's on drugs too, big time. You know, he's talked about using, you know, mescaline and all these different drugs, right up Joe Rogan's alley, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, he's just somebody that really needs help, if you think about it. And I'm not saying that to disparage him, but he really, really does. Like, it's, you know, he's got children. And if you want to die by the time you're 40, then that's fine. If you're a single guy, okay, you could do that, man. You want to, you know, that's fine. Nobody is really, really stopping you from doing that. But, you know, he really is in need of help. And you know, he's got a lot of issues, a lot of psychological issues, does Cowboy. And he's being aided and abetted by Rogan. I mean, Rogan is just fascinated with these guys, because Rogan would like to be Cowboy. You know, Rogan would like to perform as well as Cowboy has done as a fighter and whatnot. And, you know, so it's a real problem and whatnot. So, you know, you got to sort of look at what Cowboy says and you got to be a little bit skeptical. I'm not saying he's wrong about Winklejohn. I don't know. He could be absolutely right, but I think his issues are just more than Winklejohn, whatnot. And you've also had some other fighters, Lando Venato, that was training at Winklejohn. He was upset about some of the stuff that was going on there. I mean, you don't really see, you know, MMA fighters change camps all the time. They you know, train at different places for different reasons. And yeah, you've had stuff like that boil into the fight, like, you know, TJ versus Cody and you know, Rashad and his split from the Black Zillions and whatnot. But this has really been an overdrive. And like I said, I don't know all the facts. To me, it doesn't really matter too much. But nonetheless, he beat Mike Perry, which I think a lot of people knew he was going to beat Mike Perry, because Cowboy has a much better ground game than Mike Perry. And, you know, Mike Perry is seen by some as just this kind of Neanderthal type guy, a guy that's a brawler, doesn't have a lot of skill. In fact, it was Paul Felder that called him a thug and whatnot. And so, yeah, he beat Mike Perry, but I don't know what that does for Cowboy. But Cowboy says he wants to go down to 155. And so I think that would be really, really good. I think I would like to see a fight between him and Connor. I think that would be a great fight. I really do. The only thing that Connor has to worry about in that fight is Cowboy taking him down, because Cowboy would definitely have the edge on the ground there and whatnot. But, you know, that's what I said earlier. You know, there's so many options for Connor McGregor, and who knows how long he's going to fight for. You know, he's made a lot of money in the business – He is fighting less often now. He's got other things going on. He's got his whiskey company. He's got a family, I believe. So, and he's smoking weed too. This is really, really bad. Last week they posted a video of him smoking weed with Mike Tyson. It was terrible. It was in Las Vegas, and Tyson looks terrible too. And Tyson looks just—he looks like a shell of his former self. I'm sorry, he really does. I mean, he's really let himself go, Tyson. I mean, come on. And I knew that Connor was a party guy because there's just so many rumors about him doing coke, and there's been reports about them finding drug residue in his hotel and whatnot. And I believe it, but just seeing it, I almost lost respect for Connor. It's hard for me to get into that. Although, we're going to talk about this a little later about MMA fighters and CBD and all this stuff. Actually, we're supposed to talk about that before we went into Cowboy versus Connor. My screen, I wasn't looking at my screen, but I just was a little bit disappointed in that and whatnot. And so who knows how long Connor's going to be fighting for. But there's a lot of intriguing matchups. There's some talk about him fighting Jose Aldo, which, again, I would like to see that rematch. Any fight that Connor fights, I would like to see. But the thing is that if Connor loses again, and if he keeps on losing, less and less people are going to be intrigued. Unfortunately, your stock really goes down if you lose a lot in mixed martial arts. And Connor was a great champion. He's a great draw. He's still a great draw. But he loses again. If he loses to a guy like Cowboy, or even if he loses a rematch to Aldo, or if he loses to Tony, or if he loses to, to fill in the blank, he's not going to be the pay-per-view draw that he once was. This is a game of streaks. This is a sport of streaks. It's a sport of who's hot at the moment, who gets the most internet clicks and Facebook friends and Instagram subscribers. That's what got Derek Lewis the title shot at UFC 230. It's a very short-term sport there, and your shelf life is very, 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 very short as a mixed martial arts fighter. Scott Youngson in the live stream chat says, I disagree with you on Khabib. Connor's been running his mouth for years and intentionally pisses off his opponents, flipped off Dennis Seaver in the middle of the octagon. He tries to bring out emotion. Don't do that with the wrong man. Khabib is one of those men. Connor disrespected him, went too far. I agree with you. Connor dehumanized Khabib. No question about it. He dehumanized Khabib. He dehumanized the Dagestani people. And he went definitely too far. No question about it. But the thing is that, okay, it's words, fight promotion. Again, dehumanizing people, entire groups of people is wrong. There's no question about that. But I don't know that it warranted that type of response from Khabib. And I agree with you, Scott. He is one of those men. Khabib is one of those people that, I'm telling you that it could have got a lot worse after UFC 229. There could have been a stabbing. Somebody could have been seriously hurt. Somebody could have been even worse killed. When you have one of those men, when you have somebody like Khabib, or this guy Ali Abdulaziz, or fill in the blank, with sort of an extremist mindset, and this is a very, very violent society. It really is, and you never know what's going through somebody's head. But we have a pretty good idea of what Khabib is. But yeah, Connor is a showman. Connor promotes fights by talking trash, and his behavior has been rewarded by the UFC time and time again. And so, they don't want him to stop. The UFC enjoys the trash talk. The clowns over on the underground forum, and even some of these people on Sirius XM, they love the trash talk. They'll defend the trash talk. They'll defend you know, everything that is said, because again, what's good for the UFC is good for them. They are under the direct control of the UFC. And so, yeah, Conor, that's how he promoted that, and the UFC uses that, and you know, that's the way it is with Conor and the UFC. But you know, look, let me tell you, this is what the UFC is bringing to the table. You look at this guy Israel Adesanya. This guy Israel Adesanya, the last two fights, he fought Brad Tavares and he fought Derek Brunson. In those two fights, he's given his opponent the finger. Okay, he comes in, he pisses in the cage, and then what do you know? Khalil Roundtree, was it Khalil Roundtree or who's the other guy that fought on the? No, it was I forget. Cannonier, Jared Cannonier, did the same thing. He pissed on the cage after Adesanya did it. So you see, this stuff really spreads. You know, they see somebody, these fighters, they see somebody, you know, trash talking, getting rewarded, and they do it. And it's this culture that by and large, the UFC traffics it. I don't know if they've created it. You know, I'm not saying it doesn't exist in boxing, certainly, you know, other sports. People like the trash talk and you know, that they like that type of behavior. They really do. So, you know, I agree with you, but I don't think that words should spark that type of action. Words are words. They shouldn't lead to physical retaliation, even worse. And some people in the MMA community are very sensitive, and they would retaliate to the slightest criticism. I mean, could you imagine? You know, I've been on the air now for 45 minutes, and as usual, ladies and gentlemen, Bob Carson has said too much. Could you imagine somebody as outspoken as myself on one of these networks and actually, you know, having somebody behind me? I mean, it would just be a complete about face from what you see with the geek MMA media that, again, is afraid to, you know, piss off fighters, is afraid to really take stands and cannot afford to offend people or else they lose their job or they're replaceable. They lose their livelihood. And Scott also says, dude threw a dolly and a bus and injured folks. Yes, but he was arrested. He was arrested and he was charged. And he got a slap on the wrist, and the UFC didn't do anything to Conor. But he was at least held accountable for that. Khabib wasn't arrested at all. Khabib should have been arrested, and his three teammates should have been arrested too. But all right, so in any event, let's move on here, and let's talk about marijuana and CBD use in MMA. It skyrockets. When I used to do MMA, you know, there was obviously steroids and you know, drugs, and drugs have always been around mixed martial arts. My good friend John Peretti has told me, and he said on the record that, you know, back when he was the matchmaker of the UFC, you know, 95-98% of these fighters were on drugs. There's no question about it. And, you know, this is another thing that Rogan says that's absolutely true, that most MMA fighters are smoking weed, getting high. There was no question about it. And now you've got CBD use because you've got a lot of these CBD companies that are sponsoring these fighters and, you know, promoting CBD as a way to rid anxiety and help with pain and so on and so forth. Now, there's an argument to be made there. I'm not saying that there's no benefits to CBD and to marijuana. I've been around marijuana my entire life, okay? I do have a little bit of a grudge against drugs because I lived my life without drugs. I lived my life without alcohol. And I see America becoming a drugged-up nation where it's cool to get high. It's cool to use this stuff. You know, it's acceptable. It's embraced to go to a bar and to get drunk and you know, to smoke pot and to do this and take pills and anything to alter your sense of reality. And it's very, very difficult for people out there to live sober and to live natural, you know. It really is. And that's my problem with this. That's my objective here, is that I don't think these fighters are using pot to get better. I don't think they're using CBD to get better. I think they're using it to get high. And, you know, they're using it to almost party. And I think part of that is because of Rogan. You know, they say that Joe Rogan has the most influential podcast out there. This is a guy that gets paid almost $80,000 an episode, has millions of people watching this stuff. I'm not saying, you know, there's not a reason not to watch him. Sometimes I'll watch a couple clips here and there, even though the message that he promotes, the conspiracy theories and the objectivists, the objective viewpoint that he puts out there is pretty disgraceful. And Joe Rogan, you know, I like him as an announcer, but just as a person, I'm not a fan of Rogan's. And it's, you know, but he has made it cool to get high. He's made it cool, you know, to blaze up and whatnot. And he has an effect on people. And so people that are around him that go on his show and whatnot, and you know, they almost get enthralled with Rogan and what he promotes. And, you know, I think that's the part of the reason why you've got so many fighters out there, and even some of these clowns in the media. I know there's one guy in the media, I'm not even going to mention his name, that takes NyQuil to go to sleep. He can't sleep, so he'll take NyQuil to go to sleep. You know, and he's also, you know, admitted to smoking pot, and God knows what else he's doing. A lot of these geeks in the MMA media do that too as well, because, you know, they want to be fighters. They want to do what the fighters are doing. And so he's Roganized mixed martial arts. And I just, you know, I see our sport. I see it, you know, just being riddled with potheads and just, you know, drug users. And it's unfortunate. You know, I know it sounds like on my high horse and I'm some sort of religious nut. No, it's not that at all. It's just that, you know, if you're going to go through life, I think you should go through life sober, and not, you know, make it cool to get high and, you know, alter your sense of consciousness. I really do. You know, it's just to me, it's a moral thing. I think it's just, it makes us worse for the wear. Now, I realize this is all debatable. You know, there are a lot of people out there that have very compelling arguments for the legalization of marijuana and the benefits of marijuana. But I don't see people using this stuff to get better physically. I see people using this stuff to get high. And that's wrong. That really is, you know, it's part of the victimization, I would argue, of America, where everybody has to be diagnosed. Everybody has to suffer from something. Everybody has to have some sort of ailment. And so therefore that justifies us, you know, using marijuana or using CBD, folks. Okay. How many overdose doses have there been from CBD? I don't know. Probably not. I don't think you can overdose from CBD, but who knows? But this is my problem. It's a pet peeve. It really is. All right. Wow. We're already at 11:54. Almost an hour has gone by, ladies and gentlemen. Unbelievable, folks. I have such a great time when I'm on this program. I really do. Yeah, we're going to wrap up the show in a little while here. I'm trying to – my computer's frozen. But in any event, you've also got a lot of female fighters now going over to the World Wrestling Federation, the WWE. Now they're talking about Paige VanZant maybe meeting with Stephanie McMahon to go to the WWE, follow the footsteps of Ronda Rousey. And you know, you're going to start to see more of this because the WWE and the UFC are intertwined. The WWE and the UFC, you know, the UFC models themselves in terms of the promotional aspects after the WWE. There's no question about that. And, of course, you've got Brock Lesnar. You've had the UFC and the WWE have had cross-promotional endeavors. And as I mentioned, you know, the UFC has modeled themselves after the WWE. And so it's only natural that you're going to get fighters that want to wrestle and go to WWE because it's probably easier for them to make it in the WWE than it is in the UFC. And that's not putting down anybody at the WWE, but, you know, professional fighting in the UFC is not very lucrative to, you know, 99% of the fighters out there. And it's very, very difficult for their body. And as I said earlier, they don't have a long shelf life. They really don't. And so if you can go to the WWE and you can get, paid and get stardom that way, that's going to be a clear ticket. And I think you're going to start to see more and more of that. I really do. There hasn't been too many men that have done that. I mean, yeah, you've got, you know, somebody like Matt Riddle, and you know, Bobby Lashley. But Bobby Lashley competed, I believe, in wrestling before he went over to MMA. You don't have male wrestlers, a lot of male wrestlers that are leaving MMA and then going right to wrestling and, you know, making it big there. So it's par for the course. It's not surprising, ladies and gentlemen. And it's something that we should expect, you know, going forward. Is a lot of intersection between the WWE and the UFC. Eddie Goldman calls it the UFWWE. I think there's a lot of truth to that. All right, we got about 3 minutes. I want to tell you how you could follow the show. At Twitter, we're at Bob Carson MMA. At Facebook, Bob Carson MMA. YouTube, again, Bob Carson MMA. And on Blog Talk Radio, we're at Carson's Corner. So those are pretty easy handles to remember. Make sure to participate and interact with the show. We really appreciate it. And don't be afraid to speak up. And don't be afraid to tell people that you like this program and whatnot. Very, very, as far as I'm concerned, this is a very, very important show. And it needs to be heard. It really, really does. All right. So we're just about out of time here, folks. I got to go take a shower. And then I got to go to sleep here. Got to get up early for my 18th job tomorrow. I think the average working man and woman under this system has about 17 jobs. Okay. That's the reality. That's what we have now. So thanks for those out there that listen. Thanks to everybody across America in almost every state that listen and across the world. And we appreciate it. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, show some respect.